All right, good morning again, everybody. Welcome back. Before getting into today's message, I want to point one thing out to you. This is the first Sunday of the Lenten season. This Lenten season, the season of preparation for Easter, the 6.5 week preparation time, is typically a time of fasting and repentance. It's meant to be a tool to move you closer to God through confession of sin, through opening up your life to Him, through sacrifice of fasting. Rochelle spoke to us about fasting a couple weeks ago. She had some great perspectives and some ideas to share there if you want to listen to that again. And I just bring this up because although we do not formally follow Lenten traditions here at True North, we do acknowledge the value in taking time to really focus intentionally on your relationship with Christ. And this is a good season for that as Christians throughout the world are thinking ahead to Easter and taking some steps to draw close to the Lord. I think it's important for each one of us to seek the Lord for direction on how you can best do that. And as a church, we want to help provide resources for you to do that. So first of all, I encourage you to consider using this as a period of fasting. There's many great benefits that come from fasting, whether it's fasting from food or from some habit, whether you do that for the full Lenten period or you do it during certain times during that period. The goal really is to make a true sacrifice, something that you're going to struggle with a bit. And not just give it up, but replace that with time of devotion to the Lord, really leaning into how He wants you to grow and change. And I would be available to talk to you more about that if you're interested in entering into some kind of fast. And the second thing is that we have all kinds of resources here available for spiritual growth. Wendy and I were going through some of the devotional books that we have recently, and I set out a bunch of them on the back table. Lots of different topics. Maybe there's something that would be of interest to you in your growth. And so I encourage you to take a look at the table just at the bottom of the stairs and see if there's one of those devotional books that you'd like to use for this Lenten period. So just take advantage of this moment in time as we prepare to celebrate Jesus' resurrection to take some steps to really draw closer to the Lord. Throughout this period, I'm going to continue through our Sermon on the Mount series. We're going to end that shortly before Easter. Again, there's so much value in this sermon about what it means to live for life in Christ. It ties directly into drawing close to Him. So for today's focus, before we jump into the message, the next section of Jesus' message, I want to begin by pointing out the goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word gospel literally means good news. And the gospel is good because it resolves our most serious problem, the separation our sin produces between God, our Creator, and us. We have all sinned against God, living for ourselves rather than Him, and that sin not only places us under our judgment, it separates us from Him. When we distance ourselves through sin, we distance ourselves from God's glory, His faithfulness, His provision, His protection, and His fellowship. But because of what Jesus has done, every person has an opportunity to confess their sin, to turn to God, receive full forgiveness of sin and restoration of fellowship in God. That is truly good news that affects every part of our lives. As Paul wrote in Colossians 1:13, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. There's so much good about that we celebrate each and every week here. Now, the gospel is also good news, not just because of what it does for us as individuals, because it is good news in producing God's restoration and reconciliation in the world. Through Jesus, as He changes individuals' lives, He is restoring the world to what God intended it to be. The light of Christ shines out into the world, overcoming darkness. There's so many good things that God is doing in the world every day. And finally, the gospel is good news because it is offered freely to all who would receive it. It is a gift of God's grace. We do not have to do anything to earn forgiveness through Christ, a new life in Him. He offers it to every person freely. As Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:8-9, for grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, the goodness of this gospel and God's grace in offering it freely to everyone should not be taken to mean that living out the gospel is easy. Anyone who has been following Christ for years knows that this is a challenging life that he invites us into. We should not think that God gives us this great gift and then he does all the work and we're just left to do whatever we want and we have this free pass into heaven, right? Jesus warns multiple times of the challenges and persecutions that go along with following him. And as we've seen throughout this Sermon on the Mount, there are challenging things that Christ calls us to. So living this life is not an easy one. And as we jump back into the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to see Jesus saying that directly to us today in Matthew 7, 12 through 14. This is not an easy thing. The life he calls us to is going to take effort and intention from us. We're going to have to depend on the power of God working within us, and we're going to feel out of place in this world. He calls us to live in a way that feels foreign because we're so immersed in the culture around us that doesn't follow God. So as you open up to Matthew 7, verse 12, I just want to point out that the difficulty of living out the gospel life is not because God places some heavy burden on us that we must conform to now. In fact, Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The things he calls us to are things that we've been made for. God created us for gospel living. This is the life he intended for all mankind from the beginning. The difficulty comes from where? From the selfishness and the sinfulness of our own hearts. There's something within us that rebels against God's ways. We don't want to fully trust him and depend on him. We want things our way. And there's the fact that the world has been immersed in sin since the very beginning. And it's just become normal, right? The ways that people live around us when they're not following God, just that's what seems normal to us. And so it can seem very foreign, even the simple things that Christ calls us to, as I'm going to point out today. So now let's read what Jesus says in Matthew 7, verses 12 through 14. He says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus begins with this statement that we have come to know as what? What do we call this? The golden rule. It is very popular in our culture, and I did a little bit of research. This is a rule. This kind of rule has been in existence for centuries. Even other cultures have stated similar things. We say it all the time. We teach our kids, do to others what you would have them do to you. It's interesting that Jesus says this sums up the law and the prophets. There's one other place Jesus talks about the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This fulfills all the law and the prophets. In the same way, doing to others what you would have them do to you fulfills all of God's commands. So if you really want to please God, if you really intend to fulfill his commands, then whatever you do and say, think about how you would want people to say those things to you. Filter through those questions, right? Would I want people to treat me this way? Would I want them to speak to me in the manner that I'm speaking to them? Would I want them to view me in the way I'm viewing them? Or how would I feel if someone said or did this to me? God wants us to be people who consider others first. Consider what matters to men. And that really is, in essence, what it means to love somebody. To have consideration for them before you, above and beyond what you think and what you want. It sounds so simple, right? This is such a common principle that we talk about it. Like I said, we teach our kids and we expect them to live by this golden rule. And yet, in reality, we have a really hard time following this rule. We know it's right. We like the idea of it. probably because we want people to treat us in a certain way. So we want them to consider us before they speak and act. But the default, our default behavior is not to consider others first. Our default is to consider, how have they treated me? Or how do I perceive they've treated me? Or what do I think they deserve? And we're going to respond to them in that way. We're going to give them what we think they ought to get. Because, well, we're the accurate judge, right? Let me refer you back to the beginning of chapter 7 where Jesus says, do not judge or you too will be judged. Talks about taking the plank out of our own eye. All that talk about how we effectively think about how we share what God has given us discernment over. But this is our default response. This is what seems normal to us, right? This is what I was pointing out. We live in this world that's immersed in this kind of thinking. Basically, the world revolves around me. And whatever I think you deserve, that's what I'm going to give you. And you ought to listen to me. That's our default nature. And this is what makes living for the gospel so difficult, because that's what we automatically think of most of the time as human beings. It's a reactive kind of thinking. We see it in children. Children treat each other according to how they've been treated, and we try to train them out of it, right? We teach them this golden rule, but we don't often set a good example for them. If we're not intentional and really committed to living for Christ, our basic impulses, our sinful impulses, lead us to act more like a thermometer. We read the temperature of the room. We see how people are acting, what kind of mood they're in, the things that they're saying, that the emotions they're expressing, and then we respond accordingly, right? We change according to that. But here's the problem for the follower of Christ. If we are cruel when other people are cruel, we're not demonstrating the love and grace of Christ. If we're kind only when other people are kind, we don't inspire people to anything greater than how they are currently living. We are called to see people as Jesus does and to interact with them as he does. Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. He treated people according to his character. He treated them the way he would want to be treated. He didn't just react to how they were being. Jesus calls us to live differently, to rise above our basic impulses and show him to the world around us. When we actually treat others the way we want to be treated, we demonstrate things like grace and mercy and faithfulness. We show them that we believe them to be capable of more than what they are currently living. We inspire them to transform their lives. We inspire them to seek something greater. When we show them in the way that we treat them, that there is more to them. We become more like a thermostat. We set the temperature. We decide this is the kind of interactions we are going to have. And we inspire others to rise above their current state. And Jesus knows this isn't easy for us. It feels unjustified. It feels almost wrong sometimes because it's so common to treat others in different ways. It really depends on us trusting God with other people. I don't know how many times I've found myself in those situations, like, I feel like I need to tell this person how to be, but I know I shouldn't. But how are they ever going to change, Lord? Well, it's because I trust them to him instead of to me. But that's hard to do. This is the narrow road that Jesus speaks of. Letting God lead us and other people. And living differently than others. Really following Jesus' words instead of following our basic impulses. Not following others around us, but rather leading with the character of Christ in everything we do and say. That's a path that not many people take. It's a difficult road to follow. but truly is the way that leads to life. It's a path that allows Jesus to build his character within you, and it's a path that continues to offer grace and hope to those you interact with. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. We have all here found Christ. We have seen what a difference he makes in our lives. And he is calling us to take what he's given and set aside things like our pride and our selfish desires. They don't fit through the narrow gate. To set aside our normal ways of thinking. To not just look at other people and say, I'm going to do what they do. But rather, I'm going to look to Christ and say what he says to do. To fit through that narrow gate, we need to leave behind our reactive selves and be yoked to Jesus instead. So as you go out this week, remember that you are not called to be a thermometer of the world's brokenness, reacting to how they do things, but a thermostat of Jesus' character. We need to make a conscious decision to live in a certain way, to interact with people in a certain way, to see them in a certain way, because that's who Jesus says they are. Not because of how we feel about them. May you find ways to set the temperature of grace in your homes, and the temperature of hope in your workplaces and schools, and the temperature of love in every interaction that you have. Inviting yourself and others to rise up to the character of Christ. As we seek to draw close to Christ throughout this Easter Lenten season, may we learn to choose that narrow path each and every day, knowing that we're not going to look like people around us, and that's okay. We're going to look more like Christ. And that's what we want more than anything. May the light of Jesus fuel your everyday encounters so that you may remain on that narrow path and find the fullness of life that Jesus offers. Let's follow him where he leads, not looking to our right or left. Let's praise him. And pray in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for the wisdom that you give us, the knowledge and insight that you provide. And may we take all of that into our hearts and our minds, Lord, and use them to make decisions about how we live, Lord. This life isn't easy, but give us perseverance, Lord, to choose differently than those around us, to think and live differently, to exhibit your character. In the interactions that we have with others, Lord, let us think first about how we would want to be treated. Let's first think about how you have treated us and exhibit that character. Let that be the reflection of our lives. May we inspire one another to live more fully in you and to find life that comes from following your path. In Jesus' name, amen.